Well, your plan is going to take you somewhere you don't really want to go. But because you don't see the big picture, we keep trying to do it our way and force our way of living and our way of what we call life. And what we call life is not life at all. God want to give you a way of life that'll change you. Not just change you. It'll change your kids. It'll change your kids' kids, your kids' kids' kids. God is trying to change the generation. So when you leave this earth, you'll be ready to go with God, because you know why? You know God got your kids. And you know God got your grandkids. And you know God got your grandkids' kids. So, but he's trying to get that through to you, and we're going to see this in the life of Isaac. Amen? So in Genesis 22, we're going to read 1 through 12. And let's check out God and Abraham. Abraham was 75 when God called him out of Haran. It was 25 years before he had Isaac. And now Isaac is between the age of 25 and 30. So Abraham is probably 120. He's right at 120 years, somewhere along there. And now watch this. And God been working with Abraham for some 45 or 50 years. And some of us, you've been a Christian 3 or 4 years, 5 or 10 years, and you think you got this thing figured out. Let me tell you something. And I don't think any of us have had to took the test that Abraham have taken. You might be taking some tests, but you didn't take his type of test. And now God is getting him to the pinnacle or to the peak of his career with God or his walk with God. And so now we're right here. So you all understand, God didn't just call Abraham and then he asked Abraham to offer up his son. God had to take Abraham through some training. He had to train Abraham how to hear him, how to respond to him. And in there, Abraham made some mistakes. And out of his mistakes, God still kept working with him. So you know what God is telling me and you? I know you don't have life figured out. And I know you're going to make some mistakes. But I'm God. And because I chose you, I didn't chose you because of anything you did. I chose you because I love you. And I know in there you're going to make some mistakes. And because I'm God and I'm not like man, I'm going to keep working with you, even though you messed up. Because I know that little kink, that little twitch you got, you know how, I don't know if I watch this show called Ray Donovan. I don't know if y'all watch it. If you don't watch it, don't watch it. Amen. But anyway, his brother was a boxer, so he got a little twitch in his arm right there. And some of us got a little twitch like that in our Christian walk. We kind of shaky, you know what I mean? And God said, even though you got that little twitch, you shaky in your walk, I still got you. And he said, you know why I got you? Man will see that and they'll find some fault in it. He said, when I see that, I don't see fault in it. I chose you not because you were perfect, but because I love you. And he said, love covers a multitude of sins. And he said, you can overcome anything with love. And so God is telling you, I love you so much, we're going to work that thing out of you. Amen? And so that's where he is with Abraham. So let's go in here and look at it. And always remember, God is working that thing out of Abraham, because Abraham had a bad habit of, like me and you, lean on our own understanding. How many of y'all got a habit of that? Lean on your own understanding. You know, and if you didn't raise your hand, I know you're telling a story, because we all, when things don't go our way, we tend to lean and try to force it to go our way. Like I caught some guys breaking in a house down there across the street from me. And the guy put his shoulder on the door. You know what I mean? So he put his shoulder on the door to see how strong the door was. And then right when he put his shoulder on the door, that's how we do with God. We try to put our shoulder on there to see if we can move him a little bit. And right when he got ready to hit the door, I said, hey! And he looked. And I said, is that your house? Yeah, no. I said, well, then get away from there. We don't do that on this street. You know what I mean? And that's what the Holy Ghost be telling some of y'all sometimes. You finna try to push God to see how far you can go with him. But let me tell you, you can't budge God. And Abraham and found this out, but it took 45 to 50 years of walking with God to find this out. You know what I mean? I'm trying to help y'all out where it don't take that long. You know what I mean? Let's go in here. It said, now, it came about after these things. What are we talking about? Abraham trying to test God to see how far he could go. After Abraham had that little twitch and he kind of messed up. And God done healed the twitch. You know what I mean? Because sometimes, you know, you get your healing and you're going about your business. But Abraham didn't do that. It said, now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. How many of you know that what you're going through that you call a problem, it just might be a test? It just might be a test. Maybe God is looking to see, you know, where you at, what you're going through, how are you? And then he says, and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, here I am. So the first thing you're going to learn about these taking a test is God is, the first thing God is trying to do is see, do you hear him? And then if you hear him, you'll acknowledge him. See, Abraham acknowledged him. He said, here I am, Lord. Like he said, Glenn Davis, when you was in kindergarten, as bad as you was, and you were probably back there meddling somebody, and the teacher say, Glenn Davis, when they take a roll call, you raise your hand, right? That's where God is with Abraham. He said, Abraham, out of all the people on the face of the earth, he said, Abraham. Abraham said, here I am. See, maybe he's calling you, and you're not responding to him. It says, he said, take now your son, your only son. Oh, this is a tough one. Whom you love. And how do God know that Abraham loved Isaac? You know how he know? Because God loves Isaac. So God know Abraham loved him because he loved him. And he, his love is inside of Abraham. So he already know. He know God loved Isaac. Abraham loved Isaac because God know how much he loved his son, which is Jesus, right? So he says, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. Oh, man. Man, I know, man, me and God probably would have had to have a discussion, but Abraham don't do it. Look at what happened in verse 3. So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. It says, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkeys, and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. If I was you, I would underline that one right there, because that is one of the most powerful things in there. He said, me and the lad, me and my boy, me and my son, we're going to go over here, go to the place, and we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to return to you. God didn't give him any guarantees. The only thing he guaranteed him was that, hey, you're going to take your son, and you're going to offer him as a burnt offering. Somehow, something inside of Abraham tells him that his son is going to come back with him. Oh, man. Something inside of him tells him, see, it's true, it's the love of God. But we say we love God. We say we love God, but we're not willing to give up everything for him. So do you really love him? So let's look at it. See, this love is not a love that it just speaks or comes out of your mouth. It's a love that's inside that just keeps going and doing and going and doing, even when you don't understand it, even when you don't like it, even when you don't agree with it. You still do what God tells you to do. It's a complete trust in God. And watch this. It says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so that the two of them walked together. Okay, that's what Glenn said last week. How can two of us walk together unless we agree? How can two of us walk together unless we agree? The same way Abraham is trusting God, Isaac is trusting Abraham. Yeah, I don't put my trust in no man. That's probably why you're in the condition you're in. You know what I mean? It's that Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And watch this. And he said, here I am, my son. The same, ain't it funny? The same way he answered God is the same way he answered his son. He said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Ain't it funny how Abraham stopped to have a conversation with his son? He took time out just to listen to him, just to listen to his concerns, because the way God said, what God said was important, but also what Abraham, what Isaac's concerns are important too. And so Abraham is having to walk Isaac through his relationship with God, right? And so watch what he tell him. Watch what he tell him right here. This is some powerful stuff. You got to get in here. But when you read it, when you read the Word of God, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation. Stop just going off what we heard in Sunday school. Ask God to put you in the middle of it so you can look around in the Word and see what all is going on in here. See, Abraham is stopping to talk to Isaac because every time Abraham had a concern, God stopped and listened to him. God would stop and listen to Abraham's concerns. And then the same way God would talk Abraham through his concern, Abraham is talking Isaac through his concern. And watch what he say right here. He say, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. The two of them walked on together. They took back off again. Isaac said, oh, wait a minute, something ain't right here. We didn't gave these burnt offerings before, and we had a lamb with us. All of a sudden, we don't have a lamb with us. And I'm the youngest one in the bunch. See, the lamb ain't the oldest one. The lamb is the youngest one. And Isaac said, hey, wait a minute, I'm the youngest one in the bunch. So Abraham said, no, man, when we get up here, God going to provide for himself a lamb. You know what, Abraham? Abraham is seeing what God see. See, some of y'all think that's impossible. It is impossible when you got another agenda. Oh, let me put it easier. It is impossible for you to see what God see or think like God think when you got something else in your heart other than what God have for you. So maybe you can understand that a little bit better, amen? But I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me too, amen? It says, then they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. And then he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now you know what is going through Isaac's mind probably? God will provide for himself a lamb. 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 You know what's happening there? I guarantee you Isaac's faith was put into action. Because all of a sudden, we always look at Abraham's faith was put into action. But what Abraham then told Isaac then got activated now. You know why? Because I guarantee you Isaac don't want to die. And so the way Abraham is looking for, God will provide for himself a lamb. God will provide for himself a lamb. Now, guess who else is saying? God will provide for himself a lamb. Now, two are touching in agreement, and guess what happens? Oh. Do we understand what God is doing right here? So both of them are in one mind, one accord. I guarantee you both of them are believing God will provide for himself a lamb. God will provide for himself a lamb. Abraham don't want to kill his son, but he got to do what God tell him to do. Isaac don't want to die, but he got to do what his father tell him to do. And when two of them touch and agree, guess what happened? Watch what happened right here. See, whenever two touch and agree, The Bible say that God is in what? He's in the middle of it. Why is it so hard for us to touch and agree? Because some people got one agenda and some people got another agenda. And ain't none of them God's agenda. We all got to put God's agenda first. Why? And they say, all of a sudden, guess what happened right here? It says, Abraham is going to do what God tell him to do. How many of us would find it kind of hard to kill your own child? Amen. Let me tell you, I would find it impossible. I'm not going to tell no lie. The only way this can happen, it got to be God. I was talking to my mama the other day, about when she put me out. You know what I mean? See, she didn't kill me, but she put me out. She did kill me because it broke my heart, but it broke her heart too. You know what I mean? And she said, that was the hardest thing I've ever done, was to tell you, you got to get out. The hardest thing I've ever done. Now, this got to be 100 times harder than that. This got to be 100 times harder than that. So Abraham, get his knife. Get his little pocket knife, his Damascus. Then he get it out, and he finna lay it on Isaac. And man, can you see those tears? And watch what happened right here. God is cold. It says, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. Now, what if Abraham hadn't been in a condition to hear God's voice? See, some of y'all, you think we sitting in here just talking crazy when we tell you, you have the ability to hear God. You got to learn how to obey him. And when you learn how to obey him, you're more sensitive to his voice. See, Abraham, this took 45 years. And some of us think we got it. We've been saved 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. And you think you got God all figured out. Let me tell you, it took years for Abraham to be able to discern this voice and understand this is the Lord. And some of y'all think, oh, I'm a mature Christian. No, you couldn't be that mature, because sometimes I'm going to tell you how mature you are. You can tell how mature you are by what you go through. And then when you see what you go through, how you respond to it, that tells you how mature you are. That tells you how mature you are. Well, let me tell you now. Hey, what tells you how mature you are? How do you forgive? That tells you how mature you are. How do you treat others? That tells you how mature you are. How do you obey the word of God? That tells you how mature you are. Let me tell you, if you don't forgive, you're an immature Christian. If you still treat your other people the way they treat you, you're an immature Christian. That's right. They treat you ugly, you treat them uglier. You are immature Christian. God say, love your enemies as you love yourself. Yeah, that's what he's saying. But we try to pick and choose what we're going to listen to. You know what I mean? And then look at what he says. But the angel of the Lord said to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And here he is again. And he said, here I am. Don't you know that was the sweetest sound from heaven you could ever hear? Yeah, oh, here I am, Lord. And then you know what that is like? It's like, God, I knew you were going to come through. I knew you were going to come through. It's just something inside of me. Even though I didn't want to do this, I was willing to do it. But I knew you were going to come through, God. Man, I bet you he was turning backflips at 100 and some years old. I bet you he was turning backflips, man. Can you imagine? He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. What are you willing to give up? Look at this. So we had to do a visual on this, right? This little girl got this little teddy bear, right? Little bitty teddy bear. It's like Ava last night. They spent the night at the house, and she still got a little blankie. You know, when she was a baby, she had a little blanket, and that's what she called her blankie. And she still called it a blankie, right? Now, Ava don't want to give up her little blankie, her bear right here, But God got a big brand new bear with a shiny red bow, which represents the blood of Jesus. And he said, she said, but I love it, God. And he said, just trust me. Just trust me. What is God asking you to give up? What is God asking you to give up? What is it? I don't know what it is, but let me say, is it discouragement? Is it low self-esteem? Is it depression? Is it anger? You know, like God deal with me like with anger. That's one of my number, like, it just, and man, ooh, that just, it get me, and I hate it now. I used to love it, and now I just hate it when I act like that. You know why? Because I know it don't please God. It's something that God is asking you to give up. Not because he don't want you to have it. It's because you think this is what makes you feel good. But he got something completely different that'll help you feel good. You think this is your life. You don't know that this is your life. And they kind of look alike, but they're not the same thing. See, we think we know how to live life, but how can you live life without the person that gives all life? And so he's saying, if you lose your life, if you give up your life, I'm going to show you what real life is. But we're still trying to hold on. We're still trying to hold on. You know what I call that? That's your rip cord. Ain't that what you call it? A rip cord. And what a rip cord is when people go skydiving, the ripcord is what you pull to let the parachute out. In other words, God told you don't get on the plane with a parachute. You got on the plane with a parachute anyway because you knew God was going to tell you to jump out the plane, but you didn't trust that God was going to catch you in the middle of the fall, so you got the parachute on anyway. And so every time you get to there, and it's a certain point that Adrian asked me, well, what if they pull it too late? I said, they're going to slap the ground. It's a certain point that you pull it. It might slow them down, but it's still going to be high impact. You know what I mean? And God is saying, get on the plane without a parachute, but you packed one just in case. And so every time you get to that point, I don't know where it is, 5,000 feet, 7,000 feet, you pull the ripcord because God didn't come when you thought he was. And now you go a little bit farther and you still slap the ground. You still high impact. You still hurt yourself. And God say, all right, you got to take the test over again. You get back in the plane. You put a parachute on all over again. And God say, if you would just let me catch you, everything will be okay. But you saying, God, I can't see you. He saying, you don't see me because you're not looking for me. You don't see me because you're not looking for me, or you're looking for me in the wrong place or in the wrong thing. I'm there. I'm in the word that's telling you don't get a parachute. I'm there. The mere fact that I'm telling you something that you're not used to means that I'm with you. Okay, let's get in here. See, a lot of times God is asking us to give up something in our life, and most of the time we don't trust God like we should. So we end up taking what I call the God test in life over and over and over again until we are willing to give up what we consider valuable. The only reason you hold on to something, the only reason you hold on to anger is because you consider it valuable. The only reason you hold on to unforgiveness is because you consider it valuable. The only reason you hold on to whatever God is asking you to get rid of is because you consider it valuable. If you didn't consider it valuable, if you considered it junk, you would get rid of it. If you knew it was no good for you, you would get rid of it. If you knew that you could not function with this in this world, you wouldn't try to take it with you. But because your whole life it has meant something to you, and you've been living your whole life with anger. Like with me, most of my life, I've been an angry person. You know why? Because we were raised, you don't let nobody take advantage of you. If they hit you, you hit them back. And if we didn't hit them back and we didn't fight and we came home and we didn't fight and somebody just bullied us, you were going to get another whooping. You were going to get another whooping. And this one was going to be worse than anything somebody else did to you. You know what I mean? So we were boys and we didn't have no daddy. It was just two of us. So we had to learn how to fight and fast. So my way of fighting is I would watch my brother fight. And my brother would fight, and he would fight. I'm going to do everything I can to hurt you before you do it to me. So that's what I learned. And I learned the easiest way to do that is to take all of your energy and all of your aggression and point it toward what you're going after. And you give them everything that you have. Right? But that was wrong. That was wrong. That was good for living in this world. It don't fit in God's world. Jesus said, if they slap you, you do what? And I'm having trouble with that one because I was not raised that way. So if somebody slapped me, it's taking everything I can. In the spiritual, as far as verbally, I don't always turn the other cheek. And so I know I'm going to have a problem with it physically. You know what I mean? But God is asking me to give that up because he has something better for me. That where you used to operate in anger, God is saying, I want you to operate in love. It's two different worlds. It's two different worlds. So we're used to the physical realm, but God is trying to move us into the spiritual realm. And what's inside always have to manifest and come outside. You understand? So that's why we're taking the test over and over and over and over again. And inside of me, I feel weak to turn the other cheek. But I have to remember God's word. See, if you don't know the word, you're going to always feel weak. Because then when I remember the word, I remember that his word say, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. So I understand I'm not living off of me anymore. I'm living off of God. So what I consider weakness is really strength. If I trust him. But if I don't trust him, I'm going to still call it weakness. And I'm going to say, I know but. And I know the but. And I know but. And I know but. And you know what? And I like to say I know but. But I'm understanding now, when you're saying all them I know buts, you know who's starting to look like the butt? You know what I mean? Because I'm starting to fight with God's word. Y'all understanding? See, God's love so much, he had to release it. He had to let it out of him. And so God loved so much, he released it when it says, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. So when you really love, you have to give up some stuff. When you really love, you have to give up some stuff. You have to give up what you think. You got to give up your way of doing things. You got to give out what you consider right. When you really love the Father, you don't mind giving that stuff up. And every time you find yourself not giving it up, you get angry because, God, I know that this is not what you have for me. I know this is not the way you want me to live. So what you end up doing is fighting with yourself. You know what I mean? Why? Simply because you don't want to give. You don't want to give up. See, Abraham was a man that walked with God. He heard God, and he walked out of his father's house at the age of 75 and walked into the kingdom of God. And if you have walked out of your father's house and into the kingdom, then that's why you're taking tests right now. So don't be discouraged when you're taking tests. Don't be discouraged when you have trials and tribulation. The book of James says, consider it pure joy. Right. So how do I consider this pure joy? you consider it pure joy because you know that you got the Father's attention. That what you're in the middle of it, he's in the middle of it with you. See, look at Genesis 22, 1. It says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. See, Abraham said, here I am. The thing that you love the most is what you pay the most attention to. The thing that you love the most is what you pay the most attention to. So if I love anger the most, you know what? I'm looking for an opportunity to get angry. I'm looking for an opportunity. I'm looking for somebody to offend me. I'm looking for something negative to happen so that I can get angry. And because of that, anger is my comfort zone. Then I'm always looking for that so it can manifest itself. Because when I'm not angry, I'm uncomfortable. Because when I'm not angry, I'm uncomfortable. It makes me feel weak. And you know, when people see you weak, they take advantage of you. And all this stuff is going through your head. So, see, Abraham loved Isaac, but that love was nothing compared to his love for God. Abraham loved Isaac, but that love was nothing compared to his love for God. See, even while he was being a family man, or even while he was teaching Isaac to cut wood or whatever they were doing that day, he was still listening for God. So that tells me and you that all during your life and every day, all day long, you should be looking for God to speak to you. You should be listening for God to speak to you. You should be looking for the different ways that God speaks. See, the first part of the test is very important because God's word always gives us a vision of what God is doing or what God wants to be done. So the first part is very important, and that's hearing God. That's hearing God. Learning to be attentive. Have your ears tuned to God. How many of you say, man, I know it's something that God want me to do. I just can't get in. You know what? Because you tuned to the wrong radio station. It's some static coming in. I don't think they have that too much now with this XM radio. But back when, you know, when we got our first call, you know when you got your first call, they had the radio. Like, these kids ain't seen that kind of radio. With the knobs on it, you got to kind of tune it in, and that little dial go right there. It's some static coming in, and you can hear it every now and then. You hear the music for a few minutes, like probably in Glenn's age, they probably had like, you were playing let me look at you, see probably what kind of music. Computer love, you know. And then that static come in, and because that was your jam, because you were probably over your going to your first wife's, when y'all was dating, you was probably going over there. And then because that static was coming in, you be trying to dial it in and drive at the same time, like talking and texting nowadays. And you be trying to dial it in. Well, that's how we should be trying to dial in God every day. We should be trying to dial in the voice of God every day. Because when you understand that your future is in his hand, you know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get that radio tuned. You don't have time for all that stuff that's going on around you, all the negative that's going on around you. Some of us like to work in the negative realm. And anytime you're in the negative realm, you get that. Sometimes you get good signal. Sometimes you get bad signal. Sometimes you get. And the thing with good signal and bad signal is that you don't know where you're supposed to be to get the good signal. Remember, it was some areas of town you could hit, you know, and you hit it, and you get, you could be way off on the dial, but you getting good signal. But it was some areas of town you could hit that area of town, and if you didn't have that radio just right, you were getting bad. Man, I ain't going back to Polly. You know what I mean? I ain't going back to Eastwood. I ain't going back over there in Forest Hill. Because it always interrupts you being cool. You know what I mean? Right. See, when back then you had the radio cranked all the way up. Speakers busted. You know what I mean? See, it's not a certain area of town that you're looking for now. It's a certain voice you're trying to dial into. And this voice, you can hear it anywhere. I don't care if you're at work. I don't care if you're at school. I don't care if you're at the doctor's office. I don't care if you're at the supermarket. I don't care if you got a good job or a bad job. I don't care if you're in the hospital, in the emergency room, or you just going for a doctor's visit. You can hear this voice anywhere. You can hear it anywhere. And watch it. Let me tell you something. At a certain time, you couldn't hear it. You couldn't get the signal no more because the radio station would shut down, right? But this voice, you can hear it anytime, anytime, no matter what you're going through. See, Abraham had tuned his ears to the voice of God. His life was tuned to the voice of God because you know what? And if I was you, I would get this one real good. You know how? Because no matter if things were going good or bad, Abraham was following God. No matter if he was making a mistake or he was doing things right, he was tuning in to the voice of God. You know why? Because when he heard God for the very first time, God had already given him a vision. That's why in Hebrews it says that he was looking for a city. Let's go there in Hebrews. See, when you really hear God, you know it's something God has for you that's out of this world. Let me tell you again. That's how you know you're hearing God. Because you know that it is something that God has for you that is out of this world. And the cold part about it is you don't know how you're going to make it happen. You don't know when it's going to come to pass. You just know that you know that you know it's God. You know how you know it's God? Because it's something that you would not usually do. Amen. It's something that you would not usually do. You probably didn't grow up like that. You probably had no interest in it. Just all of a sudden a thought or an idea came up. And it's out of this world. And you know you're supposed to do it, but you don't know how you're going to do it. You don't have the funds for it. You don't have this. You don't have that. That's probably how you know it's God. Because it's something that you're not going to be able to accomplish without him. So look at Hebrews. See, it's whenever God speaks to you, it's something that is out of this world. It's something that's out of this world. Watch this. In Hebrews chapter 11, start at verse 8. It says, by faith, when he was called, obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. In other words, he was lost in it. He was lost in his calling. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know how he was going to get there. He didn't know if he was going to the right or to the left. And when we see somebody like that, the first thing we say, oh, man, that ain't God. No, that is God. Because they don't know if they're going to go or they don't know if they're going to stay. They don't know if they're going to go to the right or go to the left. They don't know. Like Abraham was lost in his calling. He said when he obeyed, he went out not knowing where he was going. You know what they're saying? You don't know what your future holds. But God do. That's right. See, you got to keep walking with God. And sometimes you're going to fall. Sometimes you're going to have to get back up. Because remember, a righteous man falls 7 times. Then he get back up. And then, you know, then you're going to do something. Put your hand somewhere. You ain't got no business. Then you're going to have to repent. But all of that is God teaching you what's me and what's not me. That's right. That's right. What I approve of, what I disapprove of. And God is working this out of you. Because he's working something else into you. And then look at what it says in verse 9. It says, by faith, he lived as an alien. In other words, he was just going from place to place. He couldn't lay no foundation and start building a house because every time he would get there and he would think, this is for me, God said, nope, let's go. We got to move on. And then he got to pick up and he got to move again. And he said, then he would go in and live with people. And then, and watch this, watch what's so called. Pay attention to this, watch this. He would go live in their land and be a blessing to them. And all the time when he blessed them, God got to get him up and he got to move again. Watch this. Everybody that came in contact with him was blessed. You know why? Because God's presence was on his life. So he was actually sharing the life of God with people and they were missing it. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. He was teaching them how to be ready to move at any time. And you know what he was also teaching them, Holton? He was teaching them, all this land belonged to you, but it ain't yours. Okay, look at what it said right here. We got to get this one down. It says, by faith he lived as alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. He's saying, this is yours, but it's not yours. Remember in Joshua, God told him, every place that the sole of your feet touch is yours. You know what he was calling them to do? To be a blessing upon the earth. See, it says, for he was looking for a city which has foundations whose architect and builder is God. In other words, he wasn't looking for a physical city. He was looking for a spiritual city. He was looking for the kingdom of God. Watch this. We got to get this down. We're going to have to get this or get on. Watch this. See, now that God is sure that Abraham understands his voice, now he tests Abraham to see if he comprehends what he is saying. Verse 20, in Genesis 22, verse 2 and 3, he said, take your son, your only son whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. See, a lot of people can hear God, but not everyone comprehend what he is saying. And verse 3 tells us that Abraham comprehends. Look at what he says. See, when you comprehend it, you'll start doing it. See, when you comprehend it, you'll start doing. You won't just be saying, you'll be doing. You'll be trying to apply it in your life, even though you're kind of struggling with it because you're not used to doing it. But you're struggling with it. But you show God, I comprehend it by doing it. Yeah. I understand what you're saying by doing something. You don't just sit there like a bump on a log. Look at what he says in verse 3. He says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. You know what God's saying? Okay, man. He understands what I'm asking him. It says, and took two of his young men with him. Ain't it funny how Abraham always taking other people with him? Yeah. Yeah. Ain't it funny how he took Lot with him when God told him to leave his father's house? He took Lot with him. But I'm gonna tell you something. We're gonna get to a place right here. It says, he took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. See, comprehend means to grasp something mentally. To grasp something mentally. To grasp something mentally. See, God is trying to see if Abraham have had a change of mind. Is his mind on the same thing God's mind is on? Is he renewed in the spirit of his mind? Remember the other week we said to renew the mind means to take the mind back to something that it originally was. So we talked about how you could, in the mother's womb, you had some knowledge of God in your mama's womb. But when you were born into sin, that knowledge was interrupted. Now when you're born again, you're reconnected back to God's way of thinking. See, to understand, to comprehend means to grasp something mentally. So by Abraham getting up, splitting the wood, and getting it and saddling the donkeys and doing all that, he's telling God, I comprehend what you're saying. And God said, okay, now I see he comprehend. I know he hear me, and now I know he understand me. See, we tell God we comprehend when we get to doing what he's telling us to do. See, every thought creates a picture in your mind. See, you think it's something somebody is doing that creates that picture in your mind. It's your thoughts that create that picture in your mind. See, remember, so a man thinketh, so is he. See, what you're seeing is yourself until you think like God. See, every thought creates a picture in your mind. You're either going to see it positively or negatively. When we begin to trust God, we begin to see more in the invisible than in the visible. Then you begin to live by faith. You begin to have hope in something that you don't even see. See, Abraham is walking all these years. He's believing in something that he don't even see. Listen, he don't see it with these eyes. He don't see it with these eyes. He see it up here. He see it in here. He see it, and he know it's there, and he's walking after it, and he's willing to lose everything, and he's willing to die going after it. Because you know what? He understand that if I die going after this thing, I'm going to see it anyway, because God going to show it to me.
That's right. That's right.
See? Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. Abraham is seeing what God wants. Now he has to trust that it is God's plan for Isaac's life.
That's right. That's right.
See, now that Abraham comprehends what God is saying, now he has to get to the place of his destiny. See, this was his destiny. Remember, he told him that I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Your descendants are going to be as many as the sands on the seashores. See, he's been on the move for years, but this is the moment. This is the season and the place that God's plan finally come together for Abraham. This is where it all comes together. This is where it all comes together. In other words, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's almost like God saying, okay, Abraham, either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it, but I'm tired of playing this game. Either you believe me or you don't believe me. Either you accept what I'm telling you or you're rejecting it. Maybe that's where God is with some of us. Maybe that's where God is with some of us. See, verse 4 says, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham sees this is the place that God desires to meet with him and Isaac. This is the place Abraham has been looking for years. Go to verse 4. Look at what it says. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. You know what's happened right here? You know what's happened right here? Abraham is accepting it, what he's seeing. He's accepting it. He's saying, okay, God, I got up. I comprehend what you're saying, but now I accept what you're saying. Now I agree with you, God. And when you begin to agree with God, then it becomes visible what God is trying to do.
Right, right,
It becomes visible what God is trying to do. See, we don't actually see, and this is what I'm reading in a book. And I'm not, but when I did research this, it is true. We don't actually see with our eyes. Because I could swear when I heard that it was false. Your eyes are taking pictures. Constantly taking pictures. And they're sending electrical signals to your brain. And your brain is communicating to you what your eyes are taking pictures of. So your brain is communicating what your eyes are taking pictures of. So, in other words, if your eyes are taking pictures or you're seeing something and you're not seeing it, then your brain is getting a bad signal. And maybe that's why Abraham had been walking for so long. Because maybe the place was right there, but he just couldn't comprehend it. Because his brain was sending a bad signal. And so maybe now God is sending the signal again, and maybe because Abraham had been renewed in his mind, because now he got real faith. Because remember, he's the father of faith. Most of us think that the faith happened when he left his father's house. But no, he had to keep going and keep going and keep going. The faith was there when he left his father's house. And let me tell you something. All of us got the same measure of faith. All of us got the same measure of faith. Not one of us have more faith than the next one. It's just, what is your brain telling you? What kind of signal is your brain sending out? So when we say, yeah, but, you know what you're getting? You're getting bad signal. When you say, yes, God, I understand this, you. I'm sorry, I don't think like that. I'm sorry, I didn't respond the way you want me to. I'm sorry, I'm the one that's messed up. Your signal is good. See, Abraham is learning to accept the signal that's coming to him. See, some of us are getting a signal, but we're not accepting it. So watch what... See, Abraham is taking on the mind of God. When it says he comes to the place and he sees it, now Abraham is taking on the mind of God. He's starting to think like God thinks. I didn't say he's God. I said he's starting to think like God thinks. You know how? Because he's starting to see what God sees. See, he didn't just say, the Lord will provide. He didn't just automatically know it. He's starting to take on the mind of God. So he's starting to see what God sees. So actually, when he tell Isaac, the Lord will provide, guess what? He already see a ram in the bush. He don't see it with his physical eye. He just see it because God sees it. He know how God is. And he know that Isaac is the son of promise. So even if Isaac is the ram, God got to raise Isaac up again.
That's right.
See, Abraham is beginning to take on the mind of God. He's seeing what God sees. And anytime you see what God sees, you begin to think like God thinks. Anytime you begin to see what God sees, you begin to think what God thinks. Our problem is that we're looking for it here and now. You can't see it until God decides to reveal it to you. And God can't reveal it to you until you got the character to withstand what he's fixing to show you. If not, you'll walk away. If not, you'll suffer from doubt and unbelief. And anytime you suffer from doubt and unbelief, you'll go back to leaning on your own understanding. See, Abraham didn't have the character to see it in the beginning, but now he got the character to stand up under it. The character to stand up under it. And if we think like God sees, we will do what God does. See, Abraham is fixing to do what only God can do. God gave his only begotten son, so Abraham is willing to give his only begotten son. See, when you think like God thinks, you'll begin to do what God do. See, this leads us into faith. Faith in God. Real faith in God. See, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkeys. And I always wondered why he said that. And you know why? You know why he said it? He's learned from the past. Remember, Lot was in on what God was doing. But when God began to pour out the blessings, because Lot didn't understand it, they had to separate. So Abraham is going to nip that in the bud right here. He's telling them, it's only so far you can go, and you got to stay here. And now me and the lad going to have to do this. You know why? Because he understands me and him have the same blood. See, people that don't have the same blood, they got to separate from you. But people that have the same blood, like we should all have the same blood. Oh. See, we should all have the same blood. We should all have the blood of Jesus flowing through us. We should all, if we say we're Christian, we should be covered in the blood. We should all look alike. We should all sound alike. We should all be speaking the same thing. See, he had to lead them back because they were not a part of the blood family, the bloodline. So he could only take somebody that was part of the bloodline, because when you walk in this bloodline, there's a trust there. There's a trust there, and we see alike, and we agree. Even when we disagree, we're going to agree. Because you understand that I'm the Father. And as you understand that I'm the Father, then you understand I have your best interest. And that I'm not going to put you in harm's way. Because how could I say I'm your Father and I'm going to put you in harm's way? See, he had to leave them behind. And look at what he says right here. See, he says, you stay here with the donkeys. And here you tend to, you know, the physical stuff. We fixing to move over into the spiritual realm. He's saying, and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. Oh, y'all missed that one. See, worship is not a physical thing. Worship is a spiritual thing. Tending to the donkeys is a physical thing. It's not a spiritual thing. Okay, let me put it like this then. Works. Because most of us feel like if I'm not doing a works for God, then I'm useless. If I'm not doing something to show God that I'm serving you, I'm a part of the team, God, we feel useless. Let me tell you, the work that God is looking for is true worship. And true worship is this, being who God created you to be. See, Abraham and Isaac were created for such a time as this. See, this is what their whole, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. So he lead him over here playing with the donkeys, tending to them, feeding them, washing them, whatever they were doing, watching them. You know how it is when it ain't your thing. You kind of slack off, get lazy. I don't know how long he'll be here, but I'm going to take me a nap, man. You watch him. And then the one say, okay, when you wake up, I'm going to watch him, right? And then the one that say that, he go to sleep too. Both of them laying there asleep. And Abraham and Isaac over here, and they trying to really get with God. They're trying to really get with God. They're really trying to see what's going on. God, I don't understand how this works, man, but I'm going to trust you. You're my creator. My life is in your hand. So, man, I got to do whatever you tell me to do. However you tell me to do it, I'm willing to do it. That's real worship. It's not us in here singing songs. Y'all understand? Watch this. See? What amazing act of faith Abraham see. Abraham sees something we don't see. He saw God honoring his word. That, if I was you, I would write that down. What an amazing act of faith. He sees God honoring his word. That's what we were created to do. that's what we were created to do. Take God at His word. That's what we were created to do. Take God at His word. It's things that God have said to you and you didn't recognize His voice. It's things that God have said to you and you did recognize His voice, but you just don't know how it's going to happen. Let me tell you how it's going to happen. By you just working on your relationship with the Father, it'll come to pass. You don't have to get grants. You don't have to be connected to somebody. God's going to figure all that out. If you work on your relationship with Him, and then when you work on your relationship with Him, you know what happens first? You find out who God really is. You find out how God really is. You find out His plan and purpose. And then the next thing that happens is you find out who you are. You'll never find out who you are without knowing who the Father is. You'll never find out who you really are and what you're capable of until you find out who God is. Because remember, we're created in His image and likeness. And when you find out who He is, you're going to say, I got some of that in me. I got some of that in me. Well, that is me that I'm looking at. See, Abraham sees something we don't see. He saw God honoring His word and keeping His promise and somehow raising Isaac from the dead and sending him back to go home with Abraham. You know why? Because all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through him. Because all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through that boy. So no matter what I do to him, God's going to raise him back up because God gave His word. And I don't care how much I love him. God loves him more than that because God has already spoken over his life. Oh, you got to get that one. Abraham has said, I don't care how much I love him. God loves him more than that. Because God have already spoken over his life. That's right. And God loves me so much, he won't do nothing to hurt me either. That's right. And if God loves me that much, how much more do he love this boy? Because even when my wife was barren and couldn't have kids, he told me she was going to have him. That's right. And let me tell everybody sitting in here, I don't care how messed up you think your life is, you're a part of God's plan. And just because life looked like it do for you today, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. There's greatness inside of every person sitting here. You're great. There's beauty inside of every person in here. You're beautiful because that's the way God made you. Let me tell you, you're smart. You're smart. You're not dumb. If the world call you dumb, if people laugh and say certain stuff, they say that because of their ignorance. And you know what ignorance is? It's a lack of knowledge. They just don't know what God know about you. And the only thing that's wrong is ain't nobody nurturing that inside of you. Let me tell you something. It's something special about every person in here, or you wouldn't even be here. I'm saying you wouldn't even be in this world. Because inside of your mama, God was looking out for you. He was watching over you. Now, your circumstances and situations might not tell you that. But you got to learn how to find out who God is so he can tell you that. And you got to learn to get around people that will tell you that and not try to take advantage of you. See, there's some people that they're going to tell you how beautiful you are, but they're going to try to take advantage of you. There's some people, they're going to tell you how great you are, but they're going to want something from you. See, but there's another group of people somewhere that they'll tell you all of that stuff and they don't want anything from you. The only thing they want to do is see you be who God created you to be. See, this leads us to God as the provider, as a provider. See, we see God as a provider, healing, finances, comfort, guidance. hope, but God provides so much more than that. He provides so much more than that. God provides what real life is about. God provides what real life is about. And let me tell you what real life is about. Real life is about taking the life that God has shared with you and you simply sharing it with somebody else. That relationship that God have with you, that love affair, it's really a love affair that God have with you, is you're letting somebody else in on the love affair. And you're letting them know that the same way God loved me and he smiled at me, and let me tell you, I know God loved me, and ain't nothing nobody can say, tell me, do to me, you know, convince me otherwise. Because when I was a low-down drug addict, I abandoned my kids, I was living in a vacant house, a dope fiend. I had one pair of clothes. God still loved me. God loved me enough that one day when I was suicidal and I was just about out of it, God came and he spoke to me. I don't know how his voice sound, but I do know how his voice sound. I don't know how to describe it to you, but I do know how his voice sound. And he got me up and he led me home. And out of lead me home, he led me to the home. And when I went to the home, I got introduced to the person of Jesus Christ. And when I got, see, because a lot of times life have dealt you a bad hand. And a lot of times you went and got the bad hand. See, life didn't deal me a bad hand. I just chose to go get a bad hand. See, I have been taught right. I have been raised right, been educated. Let me tell you, I was thinking the other day, it was nothing that we didn't have. And my mama was a single parent. I chose to go to the streets. And let me tell you something, the streets don't love nobody. That's the devil's playground. And some of you, you're going to think that you can get what you're looking for out of the streets. But that love that's out there will always let you down. But it's a love that God have that it'll never let you down and it will never fail you. And all of a sudden, I began to see what real life was about. But I was learning what life was about by learning who God really was. And when I begin to learn who God really was, now I'm starting to learn who I really am. And it's going to take forever and ever. And we're going to walk out of this life and into eternal life still learning about who God is. And then you're still going to be learning. The more you learn about God, the more you're going to learn about yourself. This is not a one-shot deal. This is not a one-shot deal. But that love affair that God has, that you have with God, real life is sharing that with other people, letting them in on it, letting them in on what God is doing. Because most people think, I need money, or I need a house, or I need a car. No, you need to learn who the love of God is, and God can provide you with all of that. God can give you one idea that'll turn your world around. He'll give you one idea that'll turn your world around. He'll connect you with one person that'll bless you with everything you need. But are you going to have the character to handle it? Are you going to have the character to take care of that thing that God gives you? And then when you got to get it and you take care of it, are you going to be able to share it when God tells you? See, most of the time, that thing God give us is too much for just us. And so God say, bless somebody else. And when God tell you to bless somebody else, oh, no. You know what? I worked too hard to get this. You didn't work hard to get that. God gave it to you. Now you got something, you being stingy with something was given to you. You know what it is that was given to you? If you're not sharing Jesus' love with other people, you being stingy with eternal life. That life that God gave you, you being stingy with it. See, isn't it strange that Abraham said God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering? See, it wasn't just any offering. We got to look at the offering now. It wasn't just any offering. It was the burnt offering. See, the burnt offering is also known as the sin offering. And see, in Hebrew, the word burnt offering, means to ascend. So what they would do is they would put the lamb, the animal, and they would put the whole animal up on the altar without the entrails in it. So it was for the destruction of the whole animal, not just part of it. So Abraham understands that God is going to burn this boy to the crisp. He's not just going to burn up a little bit of him so he can get back up. It ain't going to be, he's not going to exist. But ain't it funny how you say God would provide for himself a lamb? See, what would happen right here is that when they would put this lamb on the barbecue pit, you know, I know y'all know what a barbecue, how many of y'all like barbecue? You know what the best part about barbecue is? If you're not the cook. If you're not the cook, the best part is the smell. If you the cook, the worst part is the smell, because the smell is going to take your taste buds away. When you're out there messing with it too long, it just takes your taste away. Okay, watch this. Maybe that's why the priest got hard-hearted. But God, remember we said the burnt offering means to ascend. That means that smoke goes up as a sweet aroma. And when God smells that, his presence comes down. So you know what Abraham is saying? When the presence of God comes, it's enough to provide life for anybody. He's not even just saying for anybody. He's saying when the presence of God comes, anything that's dead comes alive. When the presence of God comes, anything that's dead comes alive. Because when the presence of God comes, all sin have to go. And when sin is not around, when sin is not there, which for us now, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because sin is there, grace is there. But in this time, when the smoke would go up and the presence of God would come, the sin would have to get out of there. So the other lamb, see, it would be two lambs there. See, one was getting slaughtered. The other one, they turned him loose. And I would say, well, how did they run the lamb out of town? They didn't run him out of town. They put the lamb outside of the city gate. And when the presence of God would come, the lamb would take off and run into the wilderness. You know why he would leave? Because he represented sin, which was death. The lamb that was on the altar represented death to sin, which was to live. Most of us think when you die, you're dead. And I said something one time at a wake, and I said something like, we see death as the person is laying there is dead. They have graduated from death into life. So another preacher the next day that was preaching the funeral, he said, I don't care what nobody tell you, death is death. But that's not what the Bible tells us. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what's wrong with this guy? How could he be teaching that? How could he tell somebody that? That body, that tent is there. But that person that was saved, they going on to be with the Lord. So what we say is death is life. They went to sleep on one side and woke up on another side. Unless you don't believe in heaven. They went to sleep here and woke up in paradise. They don't even know they dead. They don't even know they're dead. Abraham understands this. Abraham is seeing God. Listen. Abraham don't even know Jesus. Abraham is seeing Jesus. Abraham is seeing God's plan of redemption for all mankind. Ain't it funny how God will let you in on some stuff when you know how to see him, when you know how to hear him, when you understand him? Ain't it funny how God begins to let you in on some things? And God is letting Abraham in on some stuff. And some of us, you know why we don't give up some, you don't know why we don't give up that thing that God is asking us to give up? Because we don't want to see what God really want to do. You know, when you really see what God want to do, it costs you something. It costs you something. Because you're accountable for what God show you. You're accountable for what God say to you. But I'm going to let you in on something anyway. You're accountable anyway because the blood of Jesus that covers your sins. You're already accountable. So you might as well go on and hear it. You might as well go on and see it. You might as well go on and believe it and begin to live like God wants you to live. You just say, when you say, I don't want to know God's plan. You know why? Because you don't want to obey. You don't want to obey. That's all it is to it. You got something else you want to do. You got something else you want to do. In other words, you want the blessing of being called a child of God. You just don't want to live like one. See, he knows that if out of obedience, he sacrificed Isaac, and I'm through. He knows that out of obedience, if he sacrificed Isaac, then out of love, God will raise him back up. He knows that if out of obedience, if I do this, he said, out of love, God will do that. And so Abraham don't have no problem. Abraham don't have no problem. Abraham don't have no problem. You got to get this through there. Abraham don't have, he have no problem sacrificing Isaac. You know why? Because he understands that the love of God have no problem raising him back up. He have no problem sacrificing his son because he knows that the love of God have no problem raising him back up. See, what is God asking us to give up today, church? What? Just right there where you are, let's stand. What is God asking you to give up today? And the reason he's asking you to give it up, because he knows exactly what he's going to give you. If you give it up, he got something better for you. If you hold on to it, you're going to hold on to that same old teddy bear. You're going to hold on to that same old thing that you were comfortable with as a child. You're not a child anymore. And I think there's a scripture in the Bible that says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I walked like a child. I acted like a child. I'm just paraphrasing. I did childish stuff. He said, but when I was a man, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what he's saying? He let go of some stuff. And he's not just I'm not just talking to men. When I say man, I'm talking about all of mankind, all of humanity. Are you ready to let go of some things? Are you ready to let go? I don't know what God is asking you to give up, but I know he's asking you to give up something. You got to give up something to receive something. And if you want something different in life, you got to do something different in life. Today, if that's you, I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and lift up holy hands and say, Lord Jesus, today, I give it up, Lord. That thing that's interfering with my relationship with you. Today, I give it up because I understand that you have something better for me, God. And what you have for me is life, God, and life more abundantly. It's an eternal life that I start living right here, right now, on earth, the same way that the saints are living up in heaven. So, Lord, I give my life away so that you can do what you have planned for my life. Lord, if you let my ears hear you and my heart see you, Lord, I'll do it. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish it. I don't have to know how. All I have to do is have faith in you and trust in you. Today, Lord, I put my faith and trust in you and what your son Jesus did on the cross for my sins. Lord, I accept him as my personal Lord and Savior. I ask you for the promise of the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me and teach me all things concerning you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. You don't have to raise your hand. You got to raise your heart. You just have to start loving on God right now. That's what he created us to do. He's looking for people to love him the way he loves him. Love him the best way you can. If you don't know how to love God, just love him the best way you can. He's going to love you his way. And his love is going to open your eyes. His love is going to change your mind. His love is going to change your heart. You just have to believe it. And say, Lord, I want to experience your love. We want to experience your love, God. Father God, we don't want it to be a one-time thing. We want to live in your love, God, every day, all day long. We want it to change. We want to change, God. We need something different, Lord. We need you, God. We need you to just fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your love and your compassion for the less fortunate, God. God, it's people in here that you can trust, Lord. That you can bless them, Lord, and they're going to be a blessing to your people, Lord. Father God, we believe that, Lord Jesus. Guide us and direct us. Teach us all things, God. We need to know you, Lord. Our lives can't change without you, Lord.
See, Jesus is telling us this. Tune into God so that we can hear it clearly, so that God can speak to us, so God can direct us down the path that he wants for us. Not only is our future dependent on this, but the future of many. So today, just say, my life belongs to you. I belong to you, God.
I give myself to you.
You have to sing this with conviction.
Ooh, my life is not my own. To you I belong, Lord. I give myself to you.
See, these are not mere words that we're saying here.
My life is not my own.
What we're doing right now.
To
dedicating our lives to God.